Let's move to the Stanley Cup final, because there's a broader question here, because on Thursday, game two of Canes and Knights averaged a 2.4 rating, and that's the highest rated and most watched game two of a cup final since Blackhawks Lightning in 2015. It's also the sixth largest game two audience on record dating back to 1994. And every single game thus far has rated really high. Now, we could talk about where the games are, Sean, but I'm kind of looking at a cumulative effect. And let's start at college hockey and the growth of college hockey. Look at PWHL and what's happening with women's hockey. Then you have the Olympics and how everyone was excited. You know, there's just so much going on, salary cap going up, record attendance in the NHL. And now I'm seeing this with two non-traditional cities. And that was always the knock. And we wondered that going in. I don't know. It's Carolina, Vegas. Will people watch? But they are watching it. And it seems like hockey's alive and well.
And the games have been great, haven't they?
Right? Yes.
That game.
Good.
That game three was one of the – that's a classic, right? Like, the play on the ice has been a classic this series. It's been so good. I think part of it goes back to the fact, Gavin, at the end of the day, if the game is good – and the stakes are high, people will watch, right? Like, for example, like, I'm not a huge NBA fan, but like, I'm intrigued to watch game after what happened with the,
yes.
Like, I will watch game four of the NBA finals probably this week after the Spurs won last night, right? Like, I'll be honest, I didn't watch game three and the Knicks were up 2-0, I know, but like, 3-0 all of a sudden, I'm like, it's not the contest. But if I am, now that I've seen what I heard what the Spurs did last night and not tied the series, but made that intrigue and everything, like, now I've, as a casual viewer, I'm being pulled in. And I think these games are pulling people, they're doing a really good job of pulling people back in after kind of the downers of the conference finals, right? Like, they were not great. And so I think it's important sometimes for viewership when you have things. I think a good game one entertainment wise is so important to pulling people into the rest of the series, Gavin, right? I think that's such a casual, you have to keep people, right? And so if you get someone who might like tune in for game one, and if it's a blowout, you might lose them. And I think this series has been so good from the rip to now that's why it's kind of gone. And the other reality just of how these kind of, you look at kind of how hockey's going and everything like that. Like, I heard, like, even people who cover the league are like, I don't know if anyone's going to watch outside of Vegas and Carolina. I feel like there's a lot of larger swatch of Americans who feel it's kind of cool to see Sunbelt teams, right? Like, obviously in Dallas, it's a very painful one right now because of where the Stars feel like they should be. But like, you want to see success of these franchises in places where the sport hasn't gone before. And I think there's, is that explaining the numbers exactly? No, but I think there's something about that connects with people.
Yeah, there certainly is. And I'm glad you mentioned the NBA finals too, because I think that helps, and kudos to both leagues for not playing on the same night. And I was thinking to myself, when was the last time? And I'm sure I can go back and find other dates. But in 2011, you had Mavericks and Heat, which was a really good series. And obviously DFW biased here. But you also had Bruins Vancouver that went to seven games. And that was like night after night action. So I love it when both finals aren't hitting on the same night. And I'm telling you, like, over the weekend, it was like Friday night, wow, what an NBA game. And then you get to Saturday night and you're like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Four goals in one period, four goals in the next. And the coolest thing is, Sean, is that I feel like both the NBA and the NHL, these finals are for the passive sports fan. And let me just explain that for a second. It's like, if I'm a passive fan watching the NHL, and I'm not like an NHL diehard, if I'm an NHL diehard, like I am and you are, a 1-0 game can be brilliant, kind of like a 1-0 game in baseball. But for the passive fan coming in, watching 4 goals and then, oh my goodness, another 4 goals in double overtime, that brings in a fan base that the NHL thrives for.
It's you want people to think that it's why the Stars, I think, have been such an entertainment draw for the league in recent years. Of they've played hockey, they played hockey where the game is always in flux, right? And I think that's one of the things about the NHL and the kind of the level of. Kind of go through the level of, hey, it's the goals being up and the goal scoring going up and everything like that, and goaltending being statistically one of the worst it's been in decades. The league, I think, kind of loves it, right? They love the fact that if there's 10 minutes left in the third period and it's a 5-3 game, this game could end 6-5. Or that's not a bad thing, and that gets people kind of into it. And I mean, it's funny, like I played beer league last night. I play in the summer, I play in a Monday night beer league, and I played last night, and there was back-to-back games, and the game I played in second, we actually tied 1-1. Gavin, we tied 1-1 in a beer league game. And our game was tense and everything like that. But the game before ours, on the ice before ours, the final was 9-6. I'll say, because like I'll go and I'll watch the, like, typically when I'm watching a beer league, for my beer league game, I typically go and like do my stretches and everything, like where I can go watch the game before mine for a little bit. And even though it's beer league, slow beer league hockey, when you step out there and it's 7-6 with 3 minutes left in the game, it's you're enjoying the chaos.
Yeah.
Like, let's just be realistic about it. Right.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. The fun of the game. Wow. That's Well, we got everything in and that's good. And by the way, here's the mention: Plano City Council, as expected, voted unanimously to move forward. There's nothing really we could dive into regarding that.
They're going to get the, it's going to be, we've seen the rendering looks nice and everything. Yep. I'm fascinated to see the long-term development of that. I know Robert was at the meeting last night, so go read his stuff on that, because like it's, there's a, the Stars will be fine, right? Like, that's the whole thing. I know there's like, and it's, I know that we got some listeners who are obviously upset and everything like that, because maybe it's made life more difficult for them. And I really feel for those people. I really do. But dollars to cents at the end of the day, the Stars are going to be fine. It's not going to be like, they're going to make more money and they're going to do all this, whether it's the, whether it's where you slice that in your mind of the Stars being the Dallas Stars by playing in Plano or not. That's right. Not my decision to make or not. I mean, it's the same way that it's the same way, you know what? The World Cup, we talked about it. The World Cup is not in Dallas. Let's be clear. It's in Arlington, but games are being played at Dallas Stadium because they've stripped the sponsorship name off for the World Cup, right? So I mean, it's, that's kind of the funny thing it's like cities, suburbs, and we're not trying to go down a civics lesson here, Gavin, I guess, but like, if you're a suburb of a city, if you're a suburb of a major city, you kind of play off that a lot anyway, right? Like, for example, while the Texas Stars are in Cedar Park, how often do you hear from Jim Nill himself say, oh, they're down, we sent them down to Austin?
Right.
Like, it's like they're not in Austin.
They're right. Not.
But that's what the, like that's what absolutely. People from the organization even say. So
yeah, it's kind of some when the Super Bowl came here, when the stadium first opened, and people were like, oh, you mean it's going to take me 30 to 40 minutes to get here? I'm staying in Dallas. It's like, yeah, well, you know, so, I mean, listen, we live in a sprawl, and I will tell you, I was up there last night having dinner, and I have spent some time. That mall, I mean, no one goes in that mall. It's good for the businesses surrounding it. There's some really nice that surround it that need help. And while I'm sad to see it leave Dallas, for that area, whether people like it or not, that is going to really help businesses in that area. So I don't think you can ever make everyone totally happy, but we did want to mention that on the show because it, you know, it's important. We didn't want anyone to think that we're ignoring it. Okay, Sean, thank you so much, man. Keep up the great work on the Dylan Larkin and everything else you're doing. I mean, it is amazing watching your feed, how busy you are in the off season. I'm like, this is like regular season Sean between the combine and the, you know, juniors at the Memorial Cup and upcoming draft. And now you have the Dylan Larkin situation, a lot of Stars stuff. So, man, you deserve a little World Cup viewing, my man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I am, I'm also obviously we will be we will definitely, that doesn't mean we're obviously still watching the Stanley Cup final and everything like that, but it's good to have, I will tell you this, if you work in this business, Gavin, and I think you know this as well, it's good to have other fandom connections for you because it helps you remind why people care so much about whatever you cover. Right.
You're absolutely correct. Yes, yeah. You are absolutely correct. And that's a great note to leave us on. Thanks so much to Sean Shapiro. Remember, you can subscribe to his Shapshot Substack. That's really important. Let's support Sean and everything that he does. He also writes for D Magazine. He'll have a new episode dropping of Algorithmically Incorrect with Robert Tiffin. And real simple, just go to youtube.com and hit the subscribe button. And that will really help Robert and Sean a lot. You can find everything that Sean does. He also writes for Elite Prospects at Sean Shapiro on X/Twitter. Thanks to the on-time experts. Also, thanks to producer Gregory Finley for making this happen. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. What an episode. I can't believe we got it all in 30 minutes, I should say. Until our next episode, have a great day, everyone.